Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
David, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good, man. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it. We have been following along with everything going on with your career, obviously, and some of the decisions you've been making and interviews you've been doing, following very closely. And let's dive in there, because you did an interview this week with Damon Amendola, and there is one particular thing from this interview blew up and went viral. And what's fascinating is it seems like the thing that went viral is exactly what you said it wasn't. And so I want to give you a chance to clarify. We want to get to the bottom of it. The idea of Jason Garrett being uncomfortable with people of color. And then, of course, you went out of your way to say, no, I'm not saying he's racist. But, of course, the story was, oh, my God, David Irving said Jason Garrett's a racist. So what's your take on the way that everyone has reacted to that interview?
Well, for one, you know, DA did his job. You know, he took it, you know, people took it, ran with, you know, what they thought would make a bigger hit or a bigger headline. It is what it is. You know, that's part of the media. But, you know, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to clarify. I did not say that Jason Garrett was a racist. Never said that before. And, yeah, a lot of people, I mean, just to say to them, you guys should probably read the article instead of, you know, just looking at a headline and making assumptions. You know, it's the job of the media and the press to make a big headline, and they were just doing their jobs.
So what is the idea that you were trying to convey about Jason Garrett?
You know, I feel like it's a personal thing. We always bumped heads. He's expressed many feelings to me. And, you know, for me, it seems like he's kind of upset. I feel like he doesn't think I deserve to be where I'm at with the little effort I put in, I guess, to sum it all up. And I mean, it's true. I don't do, you know, everything I should. I'm not an overachiever, but I mean, you know, some guys have to come in early, leave late to go out on the field and do the same thing I could do, you know, on my spare time. It's just, you know, I'm blessed. It is what it is. And I feel like some people don't like that. You know, and it's as simple as that.
Okay. So David, I want to, and I'm just giving you a chance to say everything you want to say and say it the way you want to say it. Your analysis of that, is there any way a racial component to that? In other words, how did that get inferred from what you were saying? Do you think there's any kind of a component there?
I stated that it's you know, not so much racist, but I feel like he is socially awkward. I feel like it is hard for him to relate to people with certain backgrounds. And, you know, for example, if I was going to sell a product for you and he was going to sell a product for you, you'll probably choose me because I could sell to the tall people, the short people, the old people, the young people, whereas he could only sell to one audience, if that makes sense.
I feel like
he's only good with communicating with a certain type of audience, and I didn't fit that genre, and a lot of us don't fit that genre.
All right, and you're saying it just had nothing to do with race. It just had to do with his style of communication?
Yeah, his style of communication.
Okay. Yeah, we just want to give you a chance, Claire. We got so much more to talk to you about. We're not going to stay on that. Obviously, you're talking to David Irving on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. You know, everybody talks about Coach Garrett being an incredibly talented motivational speaker, and that, you know, the speeches he would give to you guys leading into games were really good speeches and had everybody fired up, and everybody was on point and putting in the work and believing in the process, so to speak. But are you saying that that wasn't the case?
Oh, no. Jason Garrett is a great public speaker. He made some great speeches. I'm not even referring to that.
Yeah.
I'm speaking of more of a personal one-on-one basis with people. I'm talking about your personal rapport with someone else. Not as far as the game or doing his job as a coach. I'm talking about stepping outside of that, you know, just speaking in general, getting his point across to you, asking you questions. I mean, it's more of a personal social thing. That's why I tried to be clear yesterday when I said, if anything, I would say a social awkwardness.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. This is David Irving here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. You know, there's a lot, and I want to make sure I understand this. Are you currently retired from the NFL?
Legally, no. No paperwork has been in order, but in my mind, I am.
Okay, and what has been construed from all that is that because of the NFL's approach to marijuana is the reason that you are retired from the league in your mind. Is that an accurate assessment?
It's a small part of it. Marijuana does have something to do with it, but it's not just the marijuana. That's the thing. You see, if we couldn't smoke weed and we also couldn't take opioids or drink alcohol or whatever else it may be, that's one thing. You know, but I feel like it's BS that I have to take this opioid. I have to take this hydrocodone. I don't want to. It doesn't feel right. It's harsh. It's harsh on your body. It's highly addictive. It's killing people. You have a whole epidemic going on. And I feel like we should be able to have medical freedom.
You know, there's a lot here, and there's so much stuff to get into. The NFLPA, the marijuana policy, all those things. I just like to step outside of this interview and just voice the Cowboy Nation, the average Cowboy fan listening. I want to say this for them, okay?
Uh-huh.
David, please, just don't smoke weed. You're so good. You're so freaking talented. Please go make millions of dollars killing quarterbacks for the Cowboys. Please. Do you understand that perspective?
I do understand that perspective, but let me give you a perspective. Here I am, David Irving, $3 million contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, could you explain to me how I now owe the IRS a couple hundred thousand instead of profiting?
Well,
no one knows about that. Those kinds of things. People don't know how we play for free the whole year. You know, this is not an easy job. You ever been into a car accident?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I go and I have a car accident every single snap of each play.
No.
Multiple sometimes. You know, it's hard. And I'm not getting compensated. I have family. I have debt, more debt now. I didn't have this debt before this contract, you know. So people don't see that side of it. They think, oh, big idiot, smoking weed, losing millions. I've been in the league for 4 years, and this is where I'm left off with.
Yeah.
So a lot of people need to really do their research instead of just thinking that things are how they are when they read it on the internet or a headline, for example.
Understand all that, David. I mean, I think all that's fair. And then, you know, you get into, well, nobody knows how you manage your money or what you do with they know that you've been suspended a few times and then you get docked pay and these sorts of things. And you yourself said at the beginning of this interview, you said at the beginning of this interview that you haven't put forth the effort. Is that, I mean, that's your description, right?
Yeah. But see, by effort, that means different things to people. So if I'm not coming up to the facility on my off day every single day to come get an extra lift in or get an extra run in, you know, I think that's what he means by effort. Not so much doing what you have to do. He means going the extra mile. And you guys have been following my life. I'm sorry, man. I have a life outside of football. I'm up there 8 hours a day. I have a daughter. I'm a single father. I have my little brother, my little sister living with me. I have real family problems. And my thing is, if I'm here and I'm competing and doing better than the guys who are working their asses off and doing extra, I mean, that shouldn't have anything to do with me. I'm doing my job. You know, if I need to improve on my job or whatever it may be, I do what I need to do, you know, but I don't broadcast me working out at Cowboys Fit instead of the facility. I don't broadcast me doing jujitsu or all the other little stuff, the things I do, you know, and I feel like that seems to be a problem, but it's not my fault. If you have to go run 10 miles and I run one and I beat you in a race, hey, that's on you.
Right. We're talking to David Irving on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. People want to know this. Like, the reaction is people see, man, this guy is so freaking talented. And you make a your own compelling case, your own reasons for your decisions. I just want to ask you this. You know, in considering the expectation for you, what was possible for you, do you think you played any part, or what part do you think you played in your own downfall, if any?
Well, what do you consider my downfall?
Well, let me jump in here. To me, I'm someone that has always liked you personally. I think you're smart and engaging and interesting. But
thank you.
To hear you say, I have financial problems and I, you know, cover this league, you are easily, easily a $10 million player if you want to be. Easily. But
you think so?
I absolutely think so, David. And I think that you would have to make some concessions that you don't want to make. And I think you're a grown-ass man making your decisions, and I respect it. But it's hard for the average person to hear you say, man, you guys don't know the financial problems I have, when I'm going, dude, if you followed league protocol, whether you believe in it or not, you could play for two seasons. You could easily make that money, and then you could retire and do what Ricky Williams did. And let me tell you, I'm philosophically and ideologically speaking, I am on your side. It is an absolute joke that marijuana is not legal. It's a joke that they force those painkillers on you. They're protecting themselves from lawsuits. All of that is true. And David, I too was in my mid-20s at one time and believed a certain way and had very strong political opinions and things that maybe kept me from earning money. So I understand and I completely relate to you. But I'm telling you, with your ability, if you are willing to play the game for 2 years, you could sock away $15 million. Your agent gets some, taxes get some. But you strike me as a guy that's not willing to play the game. And I respect that. And I respect, you know, the way you approach that. But it's hard to hear, hey, you guys don't know about this money I owe and all this, when if you wanted to play the game, you could take care of those financial problems in two seasons. The Cowboys are dying to have someone of your ability in the middle of their defensive line.
I'm sure they are. Well, see, here's my thing. I feel like it's a priority thing. So a lot of people, yeah, let's talk about the money that could be there. Hell, I could have been drafted. Hell, I could win the lotto tomorrow. But as of now, that's not the case for me. A $10 million season, which is only half of what I should rate, by the way. But that's not even realistic anymore. I'm living in the here. I'm living in the now. I'm not living for the what could be's. I've put 4 years, well, my whole life, I've been playing since I was seven. And this is where I'm left off. And my thing is, I don't need the NFL. A lot of people assume that, oh, we're big dummies and we need the NFL. I don't need the NFL. I've always had a 3.5. You know, I've always had other outs. This was easiest, and it is what it is. And another thing, I think it's back to the priorities. For some people, it's money. For me, it's not. I mean, I'm not getting the money regardless. I don't have the money regardless. This is taking a stand. You know, it's not about the money. You know, I mean, I can understand if I, you know, had this $10 or $20 million contract and then I did something and messed it all up. That's one thing or another. But this is about rights. This is about me, my teammates, colleagues, those to come. This is for change. And if I have to be the one to be, you know, made an example of or, you know, take a stand, then I'm going to do it. You know, I'm sure Martin Luther King or a lot of these people had these talks about what they shouldn't do and why it's stupid or why it might not make sense. I don't care. I'm not doing it for those people. I'm doing it for the people who see what I'm talking about, who could understand the bigger picture. It is not about me. It is not about my contract. Obviously, if I cared that much about my contract, I wouldn't have made this stand.
Right, because NFL players know when they're going to, we've always heard, they know when they're going to get tested. So if you get caught, it's just because you really didn't care. Is that a fair way to put it?
No, it's not.
Okay, my bad.
So let me. No, that's not your bad, because that's what I was told as well. So, okay. Let me tell you how the NFL works their loopholes. And no one's holding them accountable, so they do what they want. So, they tell you will get tested between 420 and August 18th. Everyone does know, don't smoke, be clean. You're going to get tested. Once you're tested, you can do it all your life, you know, all the whole rest of the year. And that's why I've never failed in high school, in college, with the Chiefs, or with the Cowboys until my PED. So I waited like I was supposed to. Let's say August 15th, I get a test, pass it, immediately start indulging. You know, heck, our camp is in California, you know. So a couple of days later, I have a PED test. In my mind, passed it. I've never taken steroids. I don't, you know, I got belly fat. I'm not the most cut guy, if you guys know me. So keep indulging. A week later, I get another test, and they say it's street drugs. And I'm like, wait a minute, did I not just have a test? They said, yes, you did. I said, well, I failed it. I said, no, you passed it. However, you failed your PED test. Nothing came up in your blood. It was no illegal substances. However, your testosterone was higher than last recorded, and that counts as a fail. So now we have the option to test you for everything again, and we're exercising that option to test you for marijuana. Mm. That's how I got on the program.
Okay, and let me ask you this. Relative to that, there's this perception out there that, okay, Goodell and the Cowboys, they maybe Goodell and Jerry, they butt heads a little bit or whatever. There's this perception. And in your opinion, do you feel like there's a bias, like the league is more stringent or harder on guys in the program or in the league if they are Dallas Cowboys?
Definitely. Let's just say I've had talks with certain people directly related, and it is it's a fact. Yes, that is true. You make an example of the Cowboys, you show everyone, you know, we are America's team. And then, like you said, we do have Jerry Jones. He's very outspoken. He's anti-NFL. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Talking to David Irving here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. How come, I think most players want marijuana legal, or at least not to be punitive within their penalty phase. Why is it that you guys, as a collective unit, or collective group, can't get marijuana relaxed with the NFL?
Well, for one, and that's a good question. I've been asking it myself. For one, I have nothing to do with whoever was, dealing with this agreement in the first place. I don't know who paid them off or what kind of guys these were to take this, but it's BS. And to be honest with you, I feel like we could change it today if we wanted to. We could change it tomorrow if we wanted to. It's a matter of us all coming together and people being brave enough to step out. You know, I'm here stepping out, and like I said, I'm not financially stable. And I know some people who feel exactly how I do, and yet they are financially stable. But, you know, no one's coming out. I don't know. I feel like it's selfishness. But even that, we're dealing with it ourselves. So my thing is, let's just stick together, and we all make a stand. When you single one of us out, you know, treat us like Kaepernick. They made an example out of him, you know, and shout out to him. You know, but imagine if the whole team would have done it. Would they have cut the whole team? No, they can't. We are the NFL. We are the billion-dollar company. There is no NFL without us players, and I feel like it's time we start acting like it.
Well, let me ask you this.
We're not asking for anything insane. You know, NBA players, how many of those guys you see in trouble? How many MLB? How many coaches? How many hockey? How many UFC? Well, it's just the NFL players because we've accepted these terms.
Well, let me ask you this. We're talking to David Irving on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. There's been a lot of talk about your situation. There's been a lot of talk about Randy Gregory's situation. And, you know, some of the reasons that he has used marijuana and things like that. What is the difference between you and Randy in those two situations in your mind, if there is one?
He just failed, a couple more tests than I have.
Well, hold on, though. I love this question because I was interested in the answer to this. I think when Jason Garrett, for example, speaks about your situation and speaks about Randy's situation, they talk about it like it's a lot different than...
I see.
Right. And so we're curious as to how do you view the difference in y'all's situations?
I view the difference as I'm more outspoken than Randy. He's been dealing with a lot more, over the years, and I've been around the team more. I've actually built myself a leadership role, believe it or not. I'm well-respected in the locker room, and I feel like that's threatening to have a guy who's outspoken and, you know, like me, basically as a leader, if you ask me. I feel like instead of me being promoted as a team leader, it will be the guy who has never been in trouble, who shows up early, leaves late. It's probably not as good as you, but, you know, everything else outside of football is more attractive, if you ask me.
Yeah. Is this true, David, that a year ago you wanted to be the representative of the team for the Players Association?
Yes, sir.
And you put yourself out there like that. And I guess I've heard different versions of the story. Do you believe the Cowboys as an organization didn't want that and the players did? Or how did you perceive that? Or am I putting words into your mouth?
No, actually, I couldn't blame it on anyone. I couldn't, you know, say anything bad about anyone in the situation. If you ask me, what it was is that I feel like it's a hard idea to accept David Irving as your team rep when you have this guy who's never been in trouble, shows up, you know, just does all the extra things, you know. And I could see that, you know, who wants a quote-unquote bad guy as your NFL rep, right? But then on the other hand, I think who better than me? You know, the guy who never gets in trouble and shows up early, leaves late, he's not going to ever deal with any of the problems I'm dealing with. They're not a problem to him. Therefore, they're not a problem to the rest of you guys that might be dealing with some things. I've actually been in this. I've been dealing with this. I see how the NFL can screw you over. I see how bad our CBA is. I see the bad things that we've allowed, and it's affecting me firsthand. So I feel like if anyone should be fighting for your rights and you want anyone to care about you first as a player, it should be me, someone who can relate, someone who's been going through these things.
Well, let me ask you this. I feel like Jerry Jones is your biggest fan in that building, and I feel like Jerry would love to have you playing for the Cowboys. And now, obviously, there's a lot of other issues here. You're kind of going toe-to-toe with the league and challenging the league. But if the league ended up changing their marijuana policy and to where it was allowed, it's not even tested for, it's not an issue, feel free to use it to help address any of the issues that you're battling as a football player. If they made those changes, would you come back and play football again?
You know, I'd have to think harder on that before I give you an honest answer instead of an impulsive answer. I don't know. I really don't know. I guess it would all depend on, you know, how I'm doing, you know, what I'm doing, when they allow it. I mean, you know, if they allow it when I'm 32, I mean, heck.
Right.
I don't really have to, you know, so it really does. It just depends.
Well, David, we really appreciate you coming on. I mean, I think you're really interesting. We both think you're a really interesting, engaging person. And some things we agree with you and some things we don't. It sounds like you have your convictions and we respect that. The one thing I had hope is I hope that those convictions don't change for you when it's too late for you to play, because you are in the prime of your career, your prime of your earning, and you're taking your stand. So I hope it works out for you, man.
Yeah, but don't say too late. You know, this is my choice. It's not like I missed out on anything. I'm very content with my decision. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
Good for you, man. Is there anything else you want to say before we let you boogie?
No, I appreciate you guys having me on and giving me this platform to, you know, speak on a couple things.
Man, we've always enjoyed having you on the show. First time you were ever on our show, we looked at each other and were like, dude,
that
guy's fun. He's a great guest. And, you were always nice to us. I think my favorite story we've ever unearthed about you is that you had the giant snake. It was sleeping on your back at night, and you go to the vet and say, man, I don't know why my snake's not eating, and I think it's cold because it's laying on my back at night. I said, man, that thing is trying to eat you.
And yep.
That's an ambitious snake to try to eat you, brother.
It was a big snake. It really was.
Well, man, we always enjoy the time to visit with you, and thanks for jumping on. And if you ever need to clarify anything else, you ever want to talk about anything else, we're here for you. We'd love to have you on anytime. We wish you much continued success and whatever endeavors you chase down. Now, we wish they were quarterbacks you were chasing down, but we respect your decision.
All righty, and I appreciate that.
All right, there he goes, David Irving. Appreciate him jumping on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.